Welcome to the EdgeShift podcast with Katie Novak.
Really around this idea of like research and strategies and people doing interesting things.
And Chris Astle.
Doing what's best for kids, like putting kids at the center.
Our goal at EdShift is to dive into educational trends and practices and to connect you with educators and innovators around the world who are committed, in subtle and in grand ways, to shifting the fabric of education. Check out the show notes for ways to connect with us and our guests.
So Katie, you were sharing with me an experience you had recently when working with a global group of education innovators and leaders, and it was really kind of impactful to you and got you thinking. I thought we could start the conversation off talking about that a little bit.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I would love to start there because this is something I've been thinking about a lot since it happened. So I was part of a group, as you mentioned, of you know, education innovators and leaders, people who are very passionate about their work and very, for the most part, very forward thinking in their work. And the question was posed to this group of people, do you think that students should be allowed to have personal devices in the classroom? Should they be allowed to have phones? Should they be allowed, you know, should they be allowed to have these things in the classroom? And I was sitting in the front of this group, and we were in like stadium seating style, and I turned around because it was a show of hands situation, right? And I turned around expecting to see everyone be like, yeah, like definitely they should be. And like only about 50% of this group had their hands raised, which means that 50% of this group thought that students should not have devices in their hands in the classroom. And I was like, wait, what?
Right. That's so interesting. And there's so much to unpack there. So let's look at a couple pieces there. So number one, we know like in this post-pandemic world that we live in, there are devices everywhere. So globally, the number of devices in students' hands in classrooms has increased. And we've seen benefits from this in how students do their work and how they collaborate. And we've seen some of the challenges connected to only learning on a device and not mm-hmm. actually having some of that human contact. So like there's pros and cons there. And then the next thing that comes to my mind is, you know, devices are universal. Like the way we think and the way we access knowledge and what we do with knowledge is very much shifted and changed because we can get to information in ways we never could historically because we have these phones or these devices in our pockets. And so they're such powerful tools. And also, like, we don't come into the world with the skills to navigate some of that. Like, mm-hmm. from an evolutionary standpoint, our brains do things much differently, and they're primed to learn differently. And so does it not fall on schools to help students as we raise them up to be productive, happy citizens who contribute to their society? Don't we kind of need to teach them how to use those devices? And so it's interesting. Tell me where your head went when you saw only 50% of those hands up.
I think I was just confused, frankly. I was surprised. It took me, you know, it took me a minute to sort of process that. I was like, oh, like really? And it was interesting because then, you know, a couple of weeks later, you and I found ourselves sitting down and writing a white paper about devices, and how they're utilized in the classroom and coming back to this idea that, yeah, you know, it does need to be part of the role that schools play to teach kids not only with technology, but also about technology, how to use it, how to manage it, how to manage themselves in relationship to technology. You know, all of these things are so important because students are going to graduate into a world that is absolutely filled with technology, regardless of what they're doing, you know, when, you know, when their say their high school experience ends, their world, they're going to be absolutely surrounded by technology, and that is probably not going to change anytime soon. You know, and we know that technology accelerates so that it will become more pervasive. And so we think we owe it to students to prepare them for the world that they live in by helping them understand the value of technology, how to learn with it, and how to learn about it.
And I think that's so important. When you talk about, you know, learning with technology, but also learning about technology, because we talk a lot about making students lifelong learners, like giving them the skills to continue to learn, to grow as individuals in the workplace. They're going to need to, you know, acquire more skills. And as technology continues to advance, like, they need to have this kind of ability to look at it and to analyze it and to be critical and to understand, when does technology help what I'm doing and when does technology hinder what I'm doing? And without the opportunities to practice that and to, you know, to break things down and to look at the pieces and look at, you know, how is this serving me? And what are the other components, you know, in the dynamic here that I need to be good at to be successful? And I think we have to practice that. And I mean, mm-hmm. I'm very firmly convinced that school is a great place to practice that, because there's no risk. And so when we talk a lot about, you know, needing to fail to really mm-hmm. learn things. And I think that's true about, you know, the content knowledge and the skills that students are getting, but like, using technology in the wrong place at the wrong time and seeing mm-hmm. what the fallout of that is. Like, I do think they should be doing that in a safe place. And so I think that, you know, thoughtfully integrated with, just like you said, that balance of learning with it, but also learning about it, is super important for our kiddos.
Yeah. And that idea that we actually talked about in one of our season one episodes, talking about things like AI and virtual reality in classrooms, we talked about this idea that I love and have thought lots about since, around being fluent mm-hmm. with technology, and that idea that you have to have a sense of fluency in utilizing technology, and that should really be the goal, you know, that we have for students, is this ability to operate fluently with technology. You know, they don't have to be experts. You know, we don't need to put it on teachers to make students experts in technology. You know, but it's important that our education systems are allowing students to develop a sense of fluency with technology that exists today, and be able to flex that fluency into the technology that will exist in the future.
In the future. And I think a little bit too about that, like, you know, it's not a one size fits all with learners and with teaching. And technology does, it's very empowering, because different tools can do different things for different learners. And so when I think about like a student being fluent, it's this awareness of like, here is, you know, the landscape of things that are out there. And these are things I know really work for me. So when I'm completing a project, or when I'm learning something, I can go and I can pick something over here, and I can pick something over there, because I know that these help me to be better at what I'm doing. And knowing that there's choice. And so I think, you know, school's a great place to play with that and to have some flexibility. And again, to try things out, because if we fall on our faces when we're in the classroom, then we know, and we get to iterate, and we become more fluent, right? Like, you remember that. And then you know where to turn and what to look for in the future.
Totally. I think that starts to touch on another idea and question. And that is this idea that isn't necessarily always obvious to people, but the role that technology plays in social and emotional learning. Chris, tell me a little bit more about how you view that. We explored some of these ideas in the paper, but let's dive into that a little bit more.
Yeah, so when we think about the skills that, you know, students need to be successful and that fall in this kind of, you know, social emotional learning space, a lot of it comes to kind of like, number one, self-management, right? And we could go on this whole brain science tangent, which, you know me, I'd love to go there, but we think about like using devices, some of the things we engage with, some of the way that changes, you know, brain chemicals in our head, which may drive us to be more connected to a device than, you know, we may feel as healthy, right? And so, and I think this is things that parents and teachers think about, like, no, if my kids are always on the phone, they're constantly getting that, you know, immediate feedback, and it starts to break down some of the ways they relate with others. And that's true. And also, like, how do I learn how to manage that and set good boundaries if I don't practice it? And then I don't have someone talking to me about it and like helping me understand, like, well, I feel like I need to be doing this in the moment. How is this impacting how I interact with these other people? How is it impacting my relationships? How is it impacting my learning? And then understanding how you have a tool that's really a powerful source of information. Like, I can grab my phone and I can solve a problem, but when is it appropriate to do that? Like, what are the situations where I'm actually like really engaging with others and we're doing that critical thinking? And so how do I figure out the timing of when to use that tool? And so that comes then again into that relationship building. And then the self-awareness of like, what is driving me to pick up my phone and check something right now? Or how often do I have to refresh this? And we think about all of the social media that impacts students and helping them understand, A, how to create a profile or a view of themselves and identity in this mm-hmm. space, knowing that it's going to stay with them forever, right? I'm forever thankful that my social media presence did not come on until I had a prefrontal cortex, but you know, right? Our kids don't have that luxury. And so practicing all of those things, like, it falls squarely into all of these skills that we need to practice and we need to try on and that students can learn alongside their content learning, because they're seeing how it fits and how they're most effective and how they're most efficient. And then we can show for them. And, you know, it's just like some of the things our parents tell us that we don't realize till later, or our science teachers who are like, you need to know this. And we think that maybe, you know, as teenagers, we don't. But it's just the practice and the awareness and the being able to talk about it. And even, you know, just have that dialogue in the classroom about what is technology doing in our day to day? How is it influencing us? How is it helping? How is it hindering? And what does it mean for our relationships? School is a perfect place to practice that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of these pieces that we've covered are easy to relate to older students, middle school, high school. It feels obvious to me, the impact of that. What do you think about the role of technology for younger students and where some of that concern about screen time, you know, is heightened with our younger students? Does it play the same role for them?
You know, that's such a great question, because I think As our younger learners are joining us, you know, their brains are developing so quickly and there is so much that's happening. At the same time, when we say you can't do something or you can't have something, it doesn't make them want it any less. And so again, mm-hmm. I think in my ideal world, like, I do, there's so much value in hands-on. There are so many great ways to do hands-on collaboration with technology as well. And so it goes back to, you know, the basic tenet of deploying technology in any classroom. Like, how is this serving my students? And how is it helping them? And is it hindering them in a way that I should be aware of? And so I think then for our younger learners, the importance of learning about technology and about how it may impact their brains and how it may impact their feelings. And as we're also teaching them about, you know, understanding and identifying their emotions and some of those aspects of social emotional learning, like understanding how technology could influence that and letting them talk about it, like letting them kind of learn with each other. And even then test some of this, right? Like, think of all of the critical thinking that could happen when we bring some of the issues that they should be aware of to light. And then we let them play with those issues. We let them kind of get dirty in the learning and touch things and structure experiments. Like, what better way to just gain familiarity and to have open dialogue instead of just this No. I mean, I feel like bans on anything don't always serve the purpose that they intended to. And so thinking about how can we make this a more open, evolving, dynamic conversation, even for our younger students, because you'll be hard pressed to find a learner out there who hasn't played with some type of device or they're seen their parents' device or seen their siblings with devices. And so I think any and all of them are ready to engage in that conversation. And then the things we just need to be aware of is I think for our elementary learners, there is a different range of access. Like some students will have things that other students don't for a wide range of different reasons. And so being aware of that and letting students kind of process that through the things that they do together and through some of these collaborative tasks, I think, you know, instead of making it something we don't talk about, it just builds a common understanding and a common language around the role that technology is playing for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it becomes part of the expectations, part of the norm building in classrooms. It's how we're using technology, and it becomes something that then any student can take home with them. As well, you know, when they have perhaps a different level of access to a device, you know, increased or decreased in their home.
And what are the norms for that too, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's almost some like understanding of basic things like, you know, consent. Can I look at your device? If you share it with me, like, what do I do there that's appropriate? What do I do there that's not appropriate? Like, how do we... Devices are to some degree very much a extension of our identity at this point, right? And so starting very early on and talking about that and talking about privacy and how to be safe and security. And like, I mean, there's just so many things that we can help our students practice. I could probably talk about them for the next couple hours, but it's just a great opportunity from our youngest learner to our oldest learner to start to think about, you know, how these tools facilitate collaboration. What do we need to know about privacy? What do we need to know about security? How do we take care of ourselves? How do we understand, you know, how this may be influencing us? And then how do we engage with others with and around and through that technology?
Yeah. So important. Developing that fluency, developing that sense of understanding about technology and with technology. Thank you, Chris, as always, for the conversation. I think, you know, to your point, we could chat about this for ages. We'll put some links, some resources for all of you down in the show notes, as well as a link to that white paper that I referenced. That was sort of part of the conversation we've been having about devices. You know, ever since I saw that group of people with only half raised hands. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this edition of the EdShift podcast. We look forward to connecting with you online. Please join us on social media. Let us know what you thought of this episode. Leave us a review if you liked it. And we look forward to talking to you soon. Take care.